What's up, everybody? Welcome back into the Letterman Lounge. We haven't been here in a while. We're back in the lounge, hanging out, kicking our feet up, talking Ohio State recruiting. Matt Parker on the other side of that screen. I'm Spencer Holbrook, but you already knew both of those things by now because they're at the bottom of the screen. Matt, we've got to do a recruiting show. We haven't done one in a while because Ohio State just lost a commit, a 2025, late Tuesday night. Four-star Cocoa, Florida wide receiver Javon Boggs. One of the longer standing Ohio State commitments in this class, committed, I believe, on October 9th, decommits from Ohio State, reopens his recruitment, Florida, the likely landing spot, or one of the Florida schools. Does this, and we're just going to cut to the chase here. Does this impact Ohio State like at all? Or is this just on to the next one because Brian Hartline's going to get it done anyway?
I mean, I don't want to say it doesn't impact them, right? Like, Javon Boggs is super, super talented. That's a guy Ohio State identified early in the process, got him in the class early in the process. Reminds Ohio State of a lot of JSN. Like, the way Javon Boggs can move, his game is very similar to Jackson Smith and Jigba. So this was not like Ohio State pushing him out of the class or anything like that. This was just Javon Boggs reopening his recruitment. You know, you and I were talking in January about this. It felt like every other day he was announcing a new offer. You know, like you saw Notre Dame offer, you saw Georgia offer, all of these places. He was just at Missouri this past weekend. So that's kind of interesting. But, yeah, I mean, it stings just because you don't ever want kids to decommit. But a couple of things. One, if there was a position group for this to happen, it would be this position group. And if there were a time of year for this to happen, it would be now, not December, right? So those are two very big things going in Ohio State's favor right now. And I wrote about this for LettermanRow.com Wednesday morning. There's a lot of momentum for Ohio State on the recruiting trail for wide receiver. In the last like 10 days, Ohio State would have hosted the number 1, 2, 3, 4, and I think 5 or 6 wide receivers in the country. That's pretty good. You know, like that's pretty good. Ohio State's trending for a couple of those guys like Jamie French and Vernal Brown, both out of Florida, both play for South Florida Express, which is just growing into an Ohio State pipeline as we continue to move forward with Brian Hartline running the room for Ohio State. You saw DeCorian Moore, the LSU commit out of Duncanville, Texas, who all but reopened his recruitment. Like, he's committed to LSU, but he essentially came out with a top four like a week and a half ago, where he's committed to LSU, but he's focusing on four schools. So that's just modern recruiting, I suppose. But Ohio State is one of those schools in play for Moore, who is the number one wide receiver, both by On3 and the On3 industry rankings. He's a bit of a smaller guy. Ohio State's gone after some big body wide receivers in the last two cycles now. But you have a guy like DeCorian Moore, who's like 5'11". Jamie French, who is like 6'1", 6'0". Like, it's not these big body guys like you saw with Jeremiah Smith and Mylon Graham. I'd say Mylon Graham's a pretty big body. Or like Noah Rogers in the 2023 cycle, who's now at North Carolina State. But there's a bunch. Oh, Kalik Lockett is a guy that Ohio State hosted this past weekend, actually, out of Texas as well, the Dallas area. So I don't know, Spence. There's a lot going on for Ohio State at the wide receiver position. And while it is, like, again, it stings that Javon Boggs, you know, has reopened his recruitment. And but Ohio State, I think, is going to be okay. I say that pretty confidently. I think Ohio State will be okay.
Yeah, Brian Hartline's going to get his. Actually, my favorite receiver in the class is Kalik Lockett. He reminds me so much of Garrett Wilson. Go watch the tape. Yeah. 6'1", 175. Garrett was 6', 175 coming out of high school down there in Texas. It's not just that they're Texas products, but the way that they move, the way that Kalik Lockett gets in and out of his routes as a high school junior, like he kind of just glows when you watch the tape, and he kind of glides through things. He's my favorite receiver in the class. I think Jamie French is another ridiculously good wide receiver. And you look on down the board, like Ohio State's gonna be involved with other guys. Like you said, Vernell Brown, currently Ohio State leads in that recruitment, according to the On3 RPM, the recruiting prediction machine rankings. You know, there's other guys. I like Dalen McCutcheon a lot. I don't know how involved Ohio State will get there, but he's also another one of those guys who you just turn on the tape, and I love the way he moves. Like, there are so many guys. This 2025 class, wide receiver-wise, I think is really good. You know, I think Ohio State's
really, it's really grown into something good, right? Because I think you saw with 23 and 24, it was like, oh, my gosh, like, every single guy is so good. And 25, it was kind of a slow play a little bit. You know, I remember earlier discussions with you and I on this particular show where we were like, you know what? You know, I think 25 is going to be an interesting year. You know, it might be a few, it might be like shades of the 22 cycle for Ohio State. I don't think so. I think that's really like turned a corner, and you're really starting to see some of these top level guys in the 25 cycle really be like dudes, you know. Another name is Quincy Porter out of New Jersey, out of Bergen Catholic, you know, a big time national program, who is visiting Ohio State sometime soon, I believe. I don't know if it's this weekend or not. I can't remember. But anyway, he's going to be on campus soon, and Ohio State loves to recruit New Jersey. So that's just another name that is on the radar for Brian Hartline, Ryan Day, and Chip Kelly.
So simply put, and we'll kind of put this to bed for now, I mean, Ohio State's going to be fine. Like,
yeah.
It sucks. You never want the public relations view of, you know, oh, decommits from Ohio State is never something you want to read. Like, if you have a guy locked in, you want him locked in. And Ohio State, like, to Ohio State's credit, it identified Javon Boggs early. It got in on him early. Like you said, not just comparison player-wise with Jaxon Smith-Njigba, but it looked like it was going to be that kind of recruitment. You get in on him early, then he becomes a five-star, and then everyone else is like, ah, dang, we missed out. Yeah. But that's just not the case. And good luck to Javon Boggs, but he's going to open up his recruitment, and that's perfectly fine. You know, in, like you said, today's day and age of recruiting, and these young children nowadays, you know, this is the way of the road. So, yeah. You know, we don't really have to spend too much more time on wide receiver, because Brian Hartline is going to go find guys, and it's going to be okay. Ohio State fans, it will be okay. Matt, Ohio State had its first big recruiting weekend last weekend. And while Javon Boggs was hanging out in Como with Eli Drinkwitz and the rest of the Missouri Tigers, Ohio State was getting to work on its 2025-2026 recruiting class, kind of going hard with this class. I was impressed with the targets that Ohio State hosted. A couple guys I'm just going to ask you about, and this is completely unprompted, but this is how we'll do this, because there's so many guys from that visited, we can't cover them all. We'd be here for 3 hours. Nobody wants to listen to that. If you want 3 hours, go watch Oppenheimer. So, you know,
I haven't seen that. I need to. I haven't seen it yet.
You really should. I still haven't watched Killers of the Flower Moon, so I'll take that L. You take the Oppenheimer L.
It wasn't good.
All right, let's talk about Cody Haddad, Wisconsin commit, safety from Cleveland St. Ignatius. One of the best players in the state of Ohio, was on campus, and obviously is not on campus anymore. Still committed to Wisconsin, but I don't know, Matt. Like, this seems like it's the writing's on the wall for Luke Fickell to kind of have a short-lived commit in Ohio State to maybe be able to pick this guy off and keep him in the state.
Yeah, as you mentioned, the Cleveland St. Ignatius safety in the 2025 cycle. The visit Saturday was very interesting because he visited on Thursday as well. So back-to-back visits at Ohio State for Cody Haddad. And this guy's like, he's a take for Ohio State. He had his junior season shortened because he broke his leg during a scrimmage against Canton McKinley, I believe is who the school was, if I remember this correctly. I was just at Ignatius not too long ago talking with Cody Haddad and his head coach and 2026 offensive lineman Will Conroy. And so Haddad breaks his leg and misses just about like 7 or 8 weeks of the season, comes back and like racks up a ridiculous amount of tackles. So that context right there really quick is just to show that he's really good, but his ranking doesn't reflect that because he basically missed a whole season of football. So with that in mind, he commits to Wisconsin on January 17th. Ohio State offers him like 2 days later when they host him for a visit. And then he comes back down Thursday, last Thursday, and is back on campus Saturday. It's not a matter of if, in my opinion, this is just my opinion here. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. You know, he has really good relationships with Wisconsin, obviously, with Luke Fickell. Otherwise, he wouldn't have committed there. I don't know if, like, Ohio State, if it was just a, you know, we want to, like, see what happens. I don't know why. Ohio State wasn't late by any means. I think it was more of an early commitment than anything. But it's a very interesting thing. But Matt Guerrieri is, like, really leading the charge here. And I think it's just a matter of when will he, you know, make a decision? Like, when will he flip and stuff like that? And the thing about Cody is, like, he's not going to go out there and put his information out there or, like, say, like, you know, going to do this, this, and this then. Like, he's a very calculated guy. He is a very, very – comes from a very, very smart football family. Like, his dad and his uncle played in the NFL. His grandfather on his mom's side played in the NFL, played at Penn State. Like, it's a very, very big football family. So, like, they know what they're doing. They know how this process works. But I can't not see Cody Haddad signing with Ohio State.
Like, this is interesting recruitment, Matt, because he committed to Wisconsin 5 days after Matt Guerrieri was hired, which was 7 days after Perry Eliano was not retained. So, like, timing, I think, had something to do with this. Like, well, if I don't know the Ohio State safeties coach, then I'll go lock my spot in at Wisconsin. But I think Matt Guerrieri, to his credit, and this may be like his first, you know, notch on, you know, good moment in recruiting high schoolers, because obviously he helped land Caleb Downs. Like, we can't just gloss over that. But for, as far as high school goes, like, this is probably his best moment so far, as like building this relationship with Cody Haddad, when, you know, Cody's locked in with Wisconsin, and then all of a sudden, you know, Matt Guerrieri starts, you know, watches the tape, gets on Cody Haddad, and all of a sudden, like, the momentum looks like it's shifting away from Madison and toward him staying home. Now, like, this isn't a kid who is going to be the cornerstone of the safety class. I think Ohio State will still go after some of those big fish. But anytime you lock down the state, put that fence around there, not just for the Michigans and Kentucky and Penn State and Oregon and all of the schools who are trying to come into Ohio right now and recruit, but, like, you know, Wisconsin, Luke Fickell knows Ohio better than you and I do. We've lived here our entire lives. So, you know, anytime you can keep a guy in state, but also keep him away from Luke Fickell, like, that's a big deal. And so I think this is not just a typical in-state recruitment of a three-star. Like, I think this is a good, this would be, if it continues to trend this way, a good win for Matt Guerrieri.
Yeah. And, like, the biggest thing about Matt Guerrieri taking over the safeties room is that a lot of the relationships that Ohio State has with, like, with the big national names, those are relationships that Guerrieri has, like, inherited, right? So he's had to establish his presence in there. But a lot of those guys, like Fahim Delane, has a relationship with Jim Knowles, has a relationship with Ryan Day, you know, has a relationship with, you know, name anyone in the Woody other than the safeties coach, right? That was initially the case when Matt Guerrieri was hired. But, you know, you see, you know, it's been, what, 2 months now? Over 2 months since Matt Guerrieri took over. And, you know, Ohio State is trending for Fahim Delane still. I think Ohio State has come on stronger for Trey McNutt now that Matt Guerrieri has taken over, to be quite honest with you, out of Shaker Heights, Ohio. They're in good standing there. Deshaun Stewart, who just visited from New Jersey this past weekend, that's another safety to keep your eye out on. There's a lot going on. Most of it is inherited relationships, but as you mentioned, and you make the good point, like, that's the first tried and true relationship is Cody Haddad that Matt Guerrieri has identified, gone out on the trail, and really worked at it. So if a flip from Wisconsin is Matt Guerrieri's, like, first commitment, that's pretty cool, in my opinion. I think it's pretty impressive, especially when you consider who's running the Wisconsin program, a former Ohio State Buckeye, Central Ohio guy. So, like, yeah, pretty cool.
Let's from one guy who is trying to land his first high school commit and really put a stamp on things to somebody who, let's just say he's been around, Matt. Larry Johnson hosted not one, not two, but three defensive tackles on Saturday. That's always crazy to me. Like, you're recruiting all three of these guys, and they all three could play the same position, and all three be battling for playing time. But you have to pitch all three of them on, like, this is why you all fit into this, right? Like,
yeah.
That's a balancing act, man. And I don't know how he does it, but Larry Johnson does this pretty well. Like, a lot of times he'll host multiple guys on a weekend. So we got Maxwell Roy from New Jersey, Alex Gleitman's neck of the woods. We've got Cole Breeler. I don't want to get the name wrong, but, you know.
Cole B. Not like Colby Cheese, but Cole B.
There we go. Also from New Jersey. And then Trajan Odom. I'm trying with names. Like, some names I'm good with, some names just difficult. From North Carolina. So, Matt, these three visits all happened. How did they go? We don't have to break them down individually, I guess, but, like, overall, the feel of the defensive tackle board, do these visits give you some clarity? I know Larry is kind of tight-lipped about his board and where he goes with things, but, like, what do you make of these three visits as you stack them all up? Because, again, like, we don't need to talk individually each of these three guys, but also, like, they do fit now somewhere on the Ohio State board, and where they fit is pretty important.
You see, it's noon here in Columbus. It's Wednesday, so if you hear those tornado sirens, I apologize.
Yeah.
You see the three visitors, and there's a clear, in my mind anyway, there's a clear distinction, like, between who's at the top and like who's, I don't want to say like a contingency, but like who's a contingency, in my opinion. To me, the two guys really out of this is Maxwell Roy and Trajan Odom. And to me, really, really and truly, I think Trajan Odom could, there's a very good case that he will end up in this Ohio State 2025 class. It's a big deal for these kids anytime that Ryan Day goes to their school, when coaches are allowed to go out on the road, but especially like defensive players, right? I think we've seen in the last maybe 18 months or so a really big emphasis on Ryan Day expanding his whereabouts when he goes out on the road, instead of just seeing, like, you know, offensive players or commits. He's really diving after and going after, like, defensive targets. There's been a big emphasis on that, in my opinion. Just that's mm-hmm. what it looks like. Ryan Day and Larry Johnson visited Trajan Odom in North Carolina in January during the contact period. And that made all the difference to Odom. He told me over the weekend after his visit, actually it was on Monday when we were talking, you know, because Odom is like any other prospect, like very aware of what Ryan Day likes, like where his mind is going to go as it relates to football. But this is all more the reason why it's so important that Day is expanding and growing as a head coach into that CEO role so he can oversee everything. Mm-hmm. And that includes recruiting. And I think that's something that we haven't really talked about much when we talk about Ryan Day's role as a head coach and the CEO aspect. But I would say I'm not ready to, like, make a prediction or anything on Trajan Odom being in the class, but there's a very strong case that could happen, especially after this weekend. Funny enough, Maxwell Roy this sounds so weird to say, but I think it's only because he's from New Jersey, but this is an Ohio State Rutgers battle.
There we go.
Yeah. You know, the Greg Schiano really working this recruitment, yeah. trying to keep, like, he's a pretty good recruiter. So trying to keep, you know, the best talent in the Garden State home, really trying to make Rutgers into something special, kind of like those old Big East days, you know? Mm-hmm. But like, he's a take for Ohio State, certainly. Big body guy too. He's got like the strength of Ty Hamilton, but the quickness of Tyleek Williams, which is very fascinating to me. But I think those two, Spence, like, those are really the two names that were at the top from this weekend. And then you look at Cole Breeler. If that's wrong, we do apologize.
Absolutely. I don't want to get any name wrong. So if we get any of them wrong, I'm always sad. Like, You know, that dates back to trying to cover JT Tuimoloa's recruiting and recruitment. He wouldn't talk to anybody to tell anybody his name. We had to try to learn it then. So, like, we hate getting names wrong. We really do.
Got an offer this weekend. We're talking about Cole Brealey here. Mm-hmm. Got an offer this weekend. Has an official visit for June 14th. Has a top three of Ohio State, Oklahoma, and Stanford.
Sure.
So, I don't know. We'll see. But very intrigued by that one, to say the least.
Yeah, I mean,
tackle talk.
It kind of just shows, like, Larry has his way of recruiting, and like you're not. It's hard to pinpoint, man. Like, yeah. You know, this also includes, you know, where do these three fit among Javian Campbell and Landon Rink, who just I believe visited last week, and
announced his commitment date for April 3rd.
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly something to watch as he's getting ready to make a decision here. Where does it fit with London Merritt from IMG? Like, you know, all of these things, you know, fit into the defensive tackle or defensive line in general board. And like, you know, sifting through that is interesting, but this weekend, you know, I don't know if it even provided some clarity or if it made everything more murky on where the defensive tackle board is for Larry. But certainly three names to watch, I would say, as we move forward. Matt, like I said, we're not going to go player by player with everybody. Is there anyone else that just kind of, you know, if there's one guy, maybe just kind of box us in here. If there's one guy from this past weekend who visited that you're just like, yeah, we need to discuss that. Like, is there a guy that you kind of pinpoint or are we ready to move on to this upcoming weekend?
One guy that we need to discuss because of things that are happening this weekend is TJ Alford. He has his commitment coming this Saturday where he's picking between Ohio State, Miami, Florida, Florida State, UCF, and Tennessee. Ohio State hosted him Saturday. He got into town, him and his family, and it was him, his mom, his dad, and his stepdad. Pretty important visit for Ohio State. TJ and his family were there for the entire weekend, got into town Friday, didn't leave until Sunday afternoon. And this visit went about as well as you could expect. I mean, short of a commitment, because his commitment he's announcing on this Saturday at 6:30 p.m. This visit was super important from the aspect of TJ's mom and his stepdad have all been to Ohio State before, but TJ's dad had not. That matters because, you know, I'm sure people have seen this from other places, and, you know, TJ has shared this much with me anyway, but his dad is a Miami Hurricanes fan and is not pushing, but is, you know, like making sure that his son is keeping all options open, which that's, you know, I'm not a parent, but I have parents, and that's something that they encourage, you know, keep all options open and like, just look around and make sure you're doing the right thing.
Sure.
He's also, and this was made clear to me from TJ and, you know, some people in the Woody, that no matter what decision that TJ Alford makes on Saturday, it's a decision that his whole entire family is supporting him in. And that matters, right? Mm-hmm. You know, TJ and his dad had a meeting with Ryan Day, I believe it was Saturday after the Ohio State scrimmage. They were in Day's office for like 20, 30 minutes or something like that. Really just talking about Ohio State and like what it would mean to be a Buckeye. And all of that stuff that you hear about, and that's really moving the needle. I actually, in my visit recap about this, TJ made the joke that his dad, he feels like his dad is still hung up on the 2002 national championship, which got a big pop out of me during the interview, by the way. I just want to say big pop. He really had like an image of what Ohio State was, and it just got flipped on its head. So I think Ohio State, I felt Ohio State has going to, you know, has been in the driver's seat for this recruitment for a long time now. You know, we'll see Saturday if that's true when he announces his commitment to one of his six finalists. But Ohio State did a really good job with the visit last weekend, and that should set them up for another addition to its 2025 class this Saturday. So we'll see.
We'll see. Yeah, well, if TJ Alford commits, we're going to have to ask his dad about Glenn Sharp. That's all I'll say. Yeah, because Miami fans 20-some years later are still pretty hung up on that one. But anyway, yeah.
There's a lot of questions, actually, I would like to ask about that game to TJ Alford's dad.
And plenty of other people. I'm sure we could send some of the Buckeyes from that game. We could certainly ask them some questions about it.
Yeah, sure.
Matt, I'm looking at this list and how do I make sense of this? Okay. Like this weekend.
It's ridiculous.
It's a crazy weekend. And there's only one guy that I even care to ask you about. So I'm just going to run through some names that I know because you are much more in on the recruiting scene than obviously I am. But like the Buckeyes are having visitors. Bo Jackson, running back. Ohio State doesn't even have a running backs coach. Guess what? Bo Jackson's going to be on campus. Phillip Bell, Jamie French, Marcus Harris, Taylen Taylor, wide receivers. Brian Hartline, big weekend on deck for him. Defensive end, London Merritt, again, visiting campus. We just mentioned him. Riley Pettijohn, 2025 linebacker, I believe from Texas. 2025 linebacker, safety mix, hybrid guy. Jonah Williams. Dorian Brew, huge name. Fahim Delane, 2025 safety, former five-star, still top 150. Incredible player. Ohio State's hosting him. Running back, 2026 running back, Savion Hyder. He's going to be here. Like, that's huge. There's a bunch of 2026s, and there's even a 2027. How old are we? But anyway, there's only one name, Matt, that matters now.
Okay.
Because all of those guys are huge names in their own right, but David freaking Sanders is coming to Ohio State this weekend, and that is absolutely massive. Ohio State fans, Letterman Lounge message board users, you guys wanted big-time safeties on campus. Guess what? The biggest of big-time offensive tackles is coming to Ohio State this weekend.
Yeah.
I can't state it enough, Matt. Like, okay, let's run through this real quick. He's the number two national player overall, the number one offensive tackle, according to the industry rankings and On3. All four recruiting services, even the bad one, has him as a top 10 player overall nationally. And he's going to be on campus at Ohio State. The guy who's projected to either go to Georgia, Clemson, Alabama, or Tennessee, all of a sudden, like, Ohio State's getting him on an unofficial. He's going to take an official visit to Ohio State this summer. This is the first step, Matt, and it's a huge weekend for Justin Fry. Like, you got to nail this one, man.
Yeah, I would imagine that Tavian St. Clair and Carter Lowe would also be on campus this weekend for this visit because this is the big one, right? Like, this is the most important visitor that's heading to campus this weekend.
Yes.
Alex Gleitman had a really good story about this. Some things that he's hearing out of Charlotte, North Carolina, Providence Day School. I don't know if Day is in there.
Blocked for 2024 Michigan quarterback commit. Now Michigan freshman quarterback Jaden Davis. So
yeah, there you go. And Michigan is not in the race, and their head coach is the former offensive line coach. Anyway.
That's a shame.
You hate to see it. Anyway, this is the big one for Justin Fry. Absolutely has to be like paying the utmost attention to. This was first reported by 247's Steve Wiltfong, who's very locked in with Ohio State and everything like that. We appreciate the work that he does. Love the competition and stuff like that. But David Sanders at the top of the month came out with, I think it was a top six schools list. And it was all the schools that you mentioned and of Ohio State, Georgia, Clemson, Alabama, Tennessee. And there might have been one more in there probably. I think South Carolina was in there because I don't think I named six schools until I said South Carolina. But anyway, all of those five schools have one thing in common with Ohio State being the outlier. They're all in the South. And the thing that is hurting Ohio State the most is the distance, which like Charlotte to Columbus is not that far. I think it's like an hour flight. But when you think about the other programs that are in that list, those are drivable distances. Now you and I, we're from the Midwest, so we could get in the car for 15 hours and we'll be fine. I don't know if everyone operates like that across the country. So the distance is a factor, but one of the biggest things for me in this recruitment, and this is something that has like really always stuck out about Ohio State to me, which is like a lot of people have counted Ohio State out in this recruitment, and I haven't been ready to do that. It's that anytime you ask David Sanders, like, who he wants to be, like who he watches. He always says Paris Johnson. Well, Spencer, I have a question for you. Where did Paris Johnson play college football at?
Yeah. Like that's notable, Matt.
Like that stuff matters. Like that matters. You can't tell me it doesn't. Like that stuff matters. So, and David Sanders is going to the program that Paris Johnson played for and is now representing in the NFL as a first round draft pick. So
one thing you just always have to keep in mind with these kind of recruitments, like David Sanders, again, top 10 player according to all four major services, who asks him these questions? You know, who's, you know, and it's not me being anti-media. I literally am. It's me, the media. But like when a kid consistently gets asked about Clemson, Georgia, and Alabama all the time, then Ohio State kind of becomes back of mind to a lot of people.
It is a perceived image. That is
correct. Yeah. And so, you know, it's like how Ohio State, even though they didn't end up landing him, was closer in the Jordan Seaton recruitment than people wanted to admit. Why? Because they continuously asked him about other schools. So, that's one thing that I didn't mean to cut you off, but like it's just something to keep in mind because it is important. And now he's going to visit Ohio State and prove to people, you know, he's coming on his own dime and kind of prove to people that like, hey, I am interested in Ohio State.
Yeah, which is big, both for David Sanders and for Ohio State, right? We can talk about these things and we talk about how big it is for Ohio State. Well, like, it's also big for the kid, you know? Like, it's also big for the prospect that's visiting, because if you dish out a top five, a top six list, and, you know, there's always like one school in that mix, right? And I'm not saying David Sanders specifically. I'm speaking in a generality here. There's always one school that like really is just a hat on the table, you know? But in this recruitment, that's not Ohio State. I don't think any of these schools are hats on the table, to be quite honest with you. And, you know, Ohio State, the perceived image is that, you know, the Buckeyes are that hat that's just on the table. But I don't think so. I don't get that feeling. And that's apparently true, because otherwise he wouldn't be visiting on his own dime. Another thing that matters, why this visit is happening this weekend, is because it's Student Appreciation Day, which that always brings in a really good crowd. And it's very cool to like walk around the Woody and see, you know, however many Ohio State students are there to watch the Buckeyes practice. And it's just practice. Like, that's all it is. Like, they're literally just watching them practice. And
not a game.
Yeah, I know. We're talking about practice, man. You know, that's what I'm saying. And that's also big for the recruits, you know, like that's also big for the visiting recruits, because they see that. And some of these kids that are visiting this weekend haven't made game day visits. So like they're showing up for a practice at the Woody Hayes Athletic Center on a Saturday in March, and they're going to see that many fans there. So imagine what it's like when they show up and there's 105,000 people watching Ohio State, you know, like this is behind the spring game, quite honestly, this is the biggest weekend of spring, because the spring game is an opportunity to be in Ohio Stadium. Like, nothing's really going to top that, in my opinion. But maybe in terms of visitors, this might be the most important weekend.
Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree with you at all, Matt. By the way, Letterman Row will be in the Woody Hayes Athletic Center for the entirety of Ohio State Student Appreciation Day. The students are allowed to watch, so that means the media is allowed to watch. It's the one practice of the spring. We get to watch the entire thing. We'll have full coverage of it at lettermanrow.com. $1 for your first month. You get access to Student Appreciation Day, the spring game, the spring transfer portal window, all the spring visits, the post-visit glow that all these kids are going to have, talking glowingly about your favorite program, Ohio State fans. Go find it all at lettermanrow.com for $1 for your first month. That's right. $1 for your first month. It gets you through the rest of spring ball and into a pivotal recruiting season for the Buckeyes. Matt, it's a huge weekend. You've got a lot to cover. Andy Backstrom, Tim May, and I have a lot to cover on the team side. Alex Gleitman's going to help you out on the recruiting side. What do you say we get out of here, get back to work? And, I mean, we'll have to talk about David Sanders, but we'll definitely talk about a lot of other visitors post-visit rather than maybe previewing their visits. There's just so many guys. Like, it's hard to talk about all these guys.
Let me throw in one more guy, though, and I'll be real
quick. Absolutely, for sure.
We are getting out of here. Dorian Brew coming back to campus is very big. Ohio State already has three cornerbacks in its 2025 class with Naeem Offer, Devin Sanchez, and Blake Woodby. Devin Sanchez actually was just on campus last weekend, had a great time. But Dorian Brew coming back to Ohio State for a visit is very, very big. Ever since he moved out to Texas, we all knew that his recruitment was like going to open up a little bit. And he was supposed to commit on January 24th. It really felt like Ohio State was going to be that school. And then postpones his announcement, has really opened things up again, has visited Texas, was at USC a couple weeks ago. I think he's going to make some trips to LSU and Oregon here pretty soon. But Ohio State, the perceived leader in this recruitment, is getting another visit from Dorian Brew this weekend. And that matters a lot. It also matters that Ohio State already has the official visit for Dorian Brew scheduled, and it's for that last weekend in June, right before the dead period starts in July. That same weekend is the official visits for Devin Sanchez and Naeem Offord. So you kind of see what Ohio State's game plan here is for Dorian Brew. You know what I mean? So this weekend, him being back on campus, being around, Tavian St. Clair, who will likely be there. I would assume that he would be there. I would assume a guy like Carter Lowe with David Sanders coming in is going to be there. Two Ohio kids going to recruit Dorian Brew, who is actually from Texas. A lot of people get this mixed up, but he's from Texas, moved to Ohio, and then moved back. So
snip, snap, man.
There you go. But yeah, I think right behind David Sanders in terms of importance this weekend is Dorian Brew, just because of how much that recruitment has really heated up. And you get to see Tim Walton really start to work here. You know, we've given him a lot of flowers, but if he can maintain this one and win this one, that would be very, very impressive to me. So Dorian Brew and David Sanders are my top two guys for this weekend.
I'll take number three, Fahim Delay. I think that's still a pretty big recruitment. So
yeah, for sure.
And you know, that kind of player sees Caleb Downs, Lathan Ransom playing in that secondary. Like that, those are probably the big. You know, I just wanted to throw him in as like, hey, a reminder. Like we didn't talk about him much, but he's the guy
I saw Fahim Delay play last September against St. Ed's. Up in Cleveland, and he's good. He's very good, man. He's very good. So, that'd be cool if he wanted to commit to Ohio State. So, I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Matt, you're dropping recruiting knowledge on the show. You're dropping it on the Letterman Lounge message board. You're writing about it on lettermanrow.com. Alex Gleitman's got a big, long piece that's really good about David Sanders. All credit to Alex on that one. And the recruitment that's kind of emerging there. And then all of a sudden, like a random WWE cameo, Andy Backstrom drops a breaking news recruiting tidbit on the basketball side of things on the message board on the Letterman Lounge. Like, bullets are flying, man. Things are happening everywhere. We've got running back coaching search updates. We've been trying to cover that to the best of our abilities. We're going to have full coverage of Student Appreciation Day on the 30th. We're going to have full coverage of the next visit weekend, the weekend after that, the spring game's coming up, the weekend of the Masters. So, like, it is just – and Neil Shipley's going to play in the Masters. So Ohio State Athletics continues to kick up as spring barrels on. The basketball season just ended. Jake Diebler's got to get to his recruiting. I'm out of breath, Matt, but there's so much to talk about.
You forgot the women's ice hockey team won the national championship.
Absolutely. How could I forget that? Tim May and I talked about that on the Tim May Show that's currently live on YouTube right now. So many things to discuss. We've got it all at lettermanrow.com. Again, $1 for your first month gets you through the month of April at this point. We'll see you guys over there at lettermanrow.com. For Matt Parker, I'm just Spencer Holbrook. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening as we kicked our feet back and chatted recruiting in the Letterman Lounge. We'll see you guys over at lettermanrow.com.